We're going to hear God's word read to us today, and I'm going to ask Brian if he would come up, please, and read to us. Today's reading will be in a number of parts, so the first instalment is going to be from Mark chapter 2. I'll let Brian tell you about it.
Mark chapter 2. For those of you who want to follow it in the pew Bible, it's there. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. So men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man,
"Son, your sins are forgiven."
Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?"
"Yeah, you can't say that. Who do you think you are?"
Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them,
"Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins."
So he said to the man,
"I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home."
He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this."
Thanks, Brian. Okay, kids, did you hear what the objection was? Did you hear what the protester called out in the middle of that Bible reading? What did he say to Jesus? "You can't say that. Who do you think you are saying something like that?" What had Jesus done? The paralyzed man had been lowered through the roof on a mat down in front of Jesus. Jesus had turned to him and he'd said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And immediately they said, "You can't say that. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are speaking on God with God's authority? You can't tell us, you know, you can't say those sorts of things." This happens in my family a bit. Sometimes, you know, people say, "You can't tell me what to do. Who do you think you are? Whose authority do you have?" And it goes something like this.
"Harley! What? You got a pencil, Andrew?"
"No, I don't."
"Yes, you do."
"Oh, you can't tell me what to do."
"I said."
"No, she didn't."
"Yes, she did."
"I don't believe you."
"Don't ask me that."
Does that ever happen in your family? It happens all the time in my family. You can see they didn't even need scripts for that. It just came naturally. And one person was saying to the other, "You can't tell me what to do," but she said, "I've got mum's authority." Now Jesus, when he said, "Your sins are forgiven," they said, "You can't say that. Only God can say that." And when Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven," he was saying, "I have got God's authority to forgive sin." And then he proved it, didn't he? He said, "I'll show you that I've got God's authority to forgive sins. Get up, pick up your mat, and go home," he said to the paralyzed man. Now, no one can say to a man who can't walk, "Get up and walk home." Even the doctors can't say that. But Jesus could, because he has God's authority to forgive sins. They said, "Who do you think you are, Jesus?" And Jesus said, "I have God's authority to forgive sins." Now, kids, you would have got a sheet on your way in, hopefully. There's some sheets around with colouring in things and some spaces to fill in. Our first one is, Jesus forgives sins. And you've got to fill in the missing letters, and then there's a picture underneath that to colour in. So the first thing we learn about Jesus is we can't make him who we want to be. We've got to let Jesus be who he really is. And Jesus said, I have got God's authority to forgive sins. Well, we're going to find out a little bit more now about who Jesus really is. And that's going to come from our Bible reading. And Brian's going to bring us the second part of our Bible reading.
Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth.
Follow me,
Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?"
"Yeah, you can't do that, Jesus. Why would you eat with them?"
On hearing this, Jesus said to them,
"It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners."
Okay, did you hear what the protesters said again? "Who do you think you are, Jesus? You can't do that. You can't say that." You see, what's happening is that people are trying to make Jesus the sort of person that they want him to be. "You can't eat with those people. They're sinners. If you want to be a righteous man, if you want to be right with God, you don't share a meal with sinners." It's a bit like State of Origin time. You know, you don't want to watch the game with a bunch of Queenslanders. It's just not on, is it? Because if you're really a cockroach, why would you want to mix with a bunch of cane toads? Why on earth? And so you don't mix with cane toads if you're a cockroach. Now, they were saying to Jesus, if you want to be right with God, why would you mix with those sinners? As though their sin could rub off on Jesus, as though they could infect Jesus with their sin. If Jesus really is a good, honest, righteous person, why would he eat dinner with people who had a really bad reputation for sin? They'll give you a bad reputation if you hang around them too much, and their sin will rub off on you. And I guarantee that if we were there, we'd probably be thinking the same thing. Jesus, do you really want to eat with those people? But what does Jesus say? He comes up with a very clever question, doesn't he? He says, "Who needs a doctor?" Now, kids, you might be able to answer this question. Who needs a doctor? Is it healthy people or sick people? Who is it? Sick people. It's the sick people who need the doctor, isn't it? And so Jesus said, these sinful people aren't going to make me sinful. I'm going to call those sinners to receive God's mercy and forgiveness and make them whole again. They won't infect Jesus with sinfulness. Jesus is going to infect them with forgiveness. When they say to Jesus, "Who do you think you are? Why are you eating with those men?" Jesus says, "Well, this is who I am. I'm the one who calls sinners to receive God's mercy and forgiveness." So kids, on your sheet, the second one you've got to fill in is the one that says Jesus calls sinners. That's who Jesus is. He's the one who calls sinners. So fill in that word on your sheet. I'll do this now.
That first section that Tim was dealing with was this idea that Jesus can forgive sins. And we saw it there where he said to the paralytic, he said, "Get up, your sins are forgiven." He healed him both physically and spiritually, didn't he? He dealt with his sin problem, he dealt with his physical problem. And I thought it would be apt for us here, as we come to a time of confession, to think along those same lines. We're dealing with a God who can deal with sin. And we do this every week. We come to a point of confession in our lives and in our service time where we bring before God the things that we know we've done wrong and thought wrong and so on, and we ask God to forgive us. Now here's proof again from our reading today that he's capable of doing that. This paralytic, his sins were forgiven. And it was proved by the fact that Jesus also raised him and cured his physical ailments. So which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk? They're both impossible for us, aren't they? But for Jesus, both were possible. And we know that Jesus can forgive sins, so let's take a moment to quietly talk to him about our sins, and then, in the words that will follow, we'll say together and ask him to forgive us. So I'll give you a moment. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have gone our own way. We have broken your laws, and we have ignored your rule in our lives. We are sorry and turn away from our sin. Father, forgive us. Help us to love you and our neighbours, and to live for your honour and glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Okay, we found out so far two things about Jesus. We found out two things about who Jesus really is from this Bible passage. Firstly, Jesus forgives sin. Secondly, Jesus calls sinners to receive God's mercy and forgiveness. And we've just prayed for God's forgiveness, and we know that he does forgive because of Jesus. Now we're going to find out more about who Jesus really is from this next story. Thanks, Brian.
Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, how is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?
Yeah, that's right. You're supposed to do that, Jesus. Why don't you fast like the rest of us?
Jesus answered,
how can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he's with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and on that day, they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making a tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins.
Okay, so first we saw that people were saying to Jesus, you shouldn't be saying that you can forgive sins. Secondly, we saw people said to Jesus, you shouldn't be eating with people like that. Now they're saying to Jesus, you should be fasting like the rest of us. Now, I know there's some very fast people around here, but when it's talking about fasting in the Bible, it's not talking about running quick, okay? When it's talking about fasting, it means going without food. You shouldn't be eating on this day because we're all not eating on this day. Why did they stop eating on a certain day? They did it because they wanted to show that they were sorry for sin. That was the real idea behind it. They wanted to show that they were sorry for sin. So it was a day of sorrow. It was a day of feeling sorry and really torn up about the sin that you'd committed and your grandparents and your great-grandparents had committed too. But Jesus said, no, today is not a day of fasting. Today is a day to celebrate because I've brought salvation into the world. I've brought salvation instead of judgment, and you can't celebrate when you're fasting. We went to a wedding last week, and this wedding reception went from 6 o'clock at night to 11 o'clock at night. There was no food. There were no drinks. We were starving hungry. There was no entertainment. Does that sound like a great celebration to you? No, it was a terrible celebration. No, I'm just telling you a lie. We had great food. We had dinner. We had wine. We had dessert. We had drinks. We had cake. We had music. We had dancing. We had all sorts of things that were a good way to celebrate. And Jesus said, you can't celebrate when you're fasting. You don't go to a wedding and celebrate by not eating anything. No, you eat as much as you can. Well, as much as they'll let you. And you don't celebrate by fasting. And Jesus says to the people, I'm not going to make my disciples fast. Today is a day of celebration because I have brought salvation into the world. They were trying to get Jesus to do the things they wanted him to do. But Jesus said, no, that's not who I am. This is who I am. I'm the Jesus who brings salvation into the world. Who do you think you are, Jesus? I want people to celebrate because I'm bringing salvation. Now, kids on your sheets, the next one we've got, Todd's going to show us the next slide. says, oh, we had that one, Jesus calls sinners. What about the next one? Jesus brings salvation. Fill that in your sheets.
One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields. And as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some of the heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?"
"Yeah, they can't do that, Jesus. Why did you let them work on the Lord's day?"
He answered,
"Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. He also gave some to his companions."
Then he said to them,
"The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath."
Here again, we've got another part of the story where people are trying to tell Jesus what he can and can't do. You can't let your disciples pick the grain on the Sabbath. But Jesus shows them what the Sabbath is really about, what this special Lord's Day is really about. Why do you let them work on the Lord's Day? This should be a special day devoted to honouring God. And there'd been problems with the Sabbath before. You see in the story there that David had done technically what he shouldn't have done on the Sabbath, but God had allowed him to. And you see, Jesus is pointing out that the Pharisees have missed the purpose of this special day. The special day was set aside for our good, not to make life difficult for us. The Pharisees had missed that purpose, that it was for their good, not to make life difficult for them. Imagine there's a grandma, and she says to her son and daughter and the grandkids, she says, "I'd really like it if you would ring me every week." Now, that's a good request, isn't it? Ring Grandma every week and have a chat with her, just to, you know, catch up with how she's feeling and all that sort of stuff. She said, "I'd really like it if you would ring me every week." So the parents said, "Okay, this is what we're going to do. To make sure we don't forget to ring Grandma, we're going to ring Grandma every Thursday night. Every Thursday night we ring Grandma." And they did this 1 week, the next week, and they did it all year, for a whole year. Now, the next year, young Molly in the family, decided she wants to sign up for dance lessons. And dance lessons are on Thursday night. So Molly thinks about this, and she rings Grandma on Thursday afternoon, and she has a good long chat with Grandma, and Grandma's really happy about that because Molly cares enough about her to ring her up. Molly's sister, Polly, isn't so happy. She says to Molly, "We have to ring Grandma every Thursday night and you have to be there. You should stay home from dance lessons. You can't go to dance lessons because we have to ring Grandma every Thursday night." Molly. Which one have I got? Polly has missed the point, hasn't she? She's missed the point of what it's all about. Polly's got the idea. Hang on. Polly's missed the point. Molly's got the right idea. Molly knows that it's all a good thing about being in touch with Grandma and caring for your grandma. Polly has missed the point. She thinks it's about keeping the law. And that's what Jesus said to the Pharisees. You've missed the point. It's not about just keeping the law. This is a day that's good for you, a day to make sure you set a time apart to be with your Heavenly Father. And Jesus says, "I understand what the Sabbath's really about." And then he says some very strange words. He says, "The Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." Kids on your sheet, the next one says, Jesus is Lord. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He's in charge of the Sabbath and what it means and how people should live on that day. He's in charge of what people should do. Jesus is Lord, even of the Sabbath. And so when it comes to knowing what God wants us to do, we need to look to Jesus. Don't try and tell Jesus who he should be or what he should be doing. We need to listen to Jesus. Who do you think you are, Jesus? Jesus says, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Rightio, we're going to hear our last part of the story. Brian's going to read it to us, and then we'll see what that means.
Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue,
and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand,
"Stand up in front of everyone."
Then Jesus asked them,
"Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?"
But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger, and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, he said to the man,
"Stretch out your hand."
He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus.
"This is getting ridiculous. He can't do that. How can he work on the Lord's day? Who does he think he is? The Lord? He's got to go."
All right, another story where people can't accept Jesus for who he really is, and they want to make him live life by their rules, live life their way. Jesus sees a man who needs to be healed. It just happens to be the Sabbath day, and they say, "You can't do that today. You can't heal him. Who do you think you are?" But Jesus says, "What's right on this special day when God should be honored? What's right, doing good or evil? Saving life or destroying life? What's right on this special day when God should be honored?" And Jesus does the right thing. The Pharisees have been blinded by their own rules. They can't see God's goodness and mercy. They can't be happy when God wants to save and heal. And they won't recognize that Jesus has come from God to bring life and salvation and forgiveness and healing. And so they say, "This bloke has got to go." And they want to put him to death. Are we ready to let Jesus be who he really is? Or are we going to try and make him into the person that we want him to be? People do that a lot. You might even do it. I've probably done it at times as well. Try to get Jesus to fit the sort of person that I want him to be so I can live the life that I want to live my way. It doesn't work, does it? And we can't make Jesus into the person that we want him to be. We've got to accept him as he is, or not at all. People try and do this. People try and make Jesus say what they think he should be saying. They want him to make him agree with their ideas. I looked up last night, you're going to find this hard to believe, I looked up the website for the International Vegetarian Union, okay? All vegetarian people, the International Vegetarian Union. And on the International Vegetarian Union, there's a document that says, "Jesus never ate meat. He was always kind towards birds and animals. He wouldn't eat meat." And in fact, when he fed the 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, that's actually a bad translation. It should say loaves, bread and fruit and water. See? So Jesus, I'm going to make Jesus fit the sort of person that I want him to be. If I want Jesus to be a vegetarian, I'm going to rewrite history to make him a vegetarian. We can't do that, can we? We can't make Jesus the sort of person that we want him to be. We've either got to accept him as he is or not at all. Some people misquote Jesus, you know. They say Jesus said there's a golden rule. You know what? The words golden rule never appear in the Bible. And people try and misquote Jesus and make him say things that he's not really saying. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And love your neighbour as yourself, not just do unto others." Some people would say Jesus wasn't really the founder of Christianity. People have just made up stories and made him look good so that they could have someone to make the head of their religion, but he wasn't really the founder of Christianity. You can't change Jesus to make him who you want him to be. We've got to accept him as he is or not at all. Some religions will say Jesus was a prophet, but not the Son of God. You can't change who Jesus is. We've got to accept him as he is or not at all. Some people are very negative towards Jesus. Jesus just wants me to make me feel guilty. Or Jesus was racist, or Jesus was sexist. We can't change who Jesus was. We've got to be ready to accept him as he is and find out who he really is, not make him to the sort of person that we want him to be. Are you ready to let Jesus speak for himself? Are you ready to let him show us how his kingdom works out in this world? Are you ready to listen to what Jesus teaches about sin and hell, about God's righteousness and forgiveness and eternal life? Are you ready to let Jesus speak for himself and listen? Are you ready to hear his call to leave your life behind and accept the new life that he has for you? Are you ready to accept the mercy and forgiveness that Jesus brings? Are you ready to look to him for life and salvation and forgiveness and healing? Who is Jesus? What does he look like in your mind? What's he like? You can't make him into someone that you want him to be. You either accept him as he is or not at all. Let me pray for us. Father God, we thank you that we can read the Bible and find out exactly who Jesus is. Father, I pray that you would help us never to ignore bits that we don't like or try to make Jesus into someone that we don't, that he isn't, just because we want him to be that way. Father, I pray that you would help us to accept Jesus for who he really is. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.